You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Well, the time has gone quick. We won't be long, and we'll be back to the classroom. Starting up a new course. I love it. I love the introduction to my courses and giving my students a preview of things to come. It's always exciting. And as I was talking to Reuben, as we were going for a walk out at Thunderbird, these semesters, because they're so highly structured, the time goes by. You know, if you order your life and you say, okay, this is what we're doing throughout the year. We're going to do this and we're going to do that, and we've got it all laid out. It just seems like it just goes like that. I mean, 4 weeks are gone. And so you're quarter your way through the semester, and then it just goes. It's just a blink of an eye. And but it's exciting as well. But it really makes me mindful of how important the time is. Make sure you use it well. And talking about that, I used to do what I've got here. I used to make up all these kind of notes, and I've started to do it again because I'm finding that there are so many ideas to keep in check and to go back in. This piddly little brain of mine can't quite keep up with all of the ideas. And so I'm finding that it's really useful now to go back to keeping some notes to look at and rehearse, go through. Because there are some fairly complex ideas we're going to move into. This whole topic here of law and grace is really opening up a whole new vista for me. Now, it's very, very important that we keep to the scriptures, and that we keep out the principles that we've already learned and have established, and they are biblical, they're correct, and they're right. And so it's really a categorization problem. Now, in statistics, we learn about all kinds of methods to categorize things. And today that's being used in a big way in what we call AI, artificial intelligence. Now, if you look at various companies around America and abroad, for example, Boston Dynamics, you've probably seen some of these robots that they've got now, which are truly amazing. I mean, perhaps 10 years ago, you would not have imagined that the robots would have got to this point. I mean, they've got now human-like forms that would be very hard to push over. I mean, if you came up to it and you pushed it, it would regain its stability. You know, come back to stability, and it could run. It'd be able to run through a field of rocks, so it's an uneven surface. Amazing things that they have achieved. One company, I can't remember the other company, another company in America, put together by an MIT prof, he's really got a company now that's majored on the face. Now, they've got a robot now that has a human-like face, to the point where that there are hundreds and hundreds of gestures that it can produce. So it has some sort of skin-like feature, maybe latex or something like that over its face, and it shows all kinds of human gestures, which are very creepy, really. I mean, when you know, it's got these eyes that look very human, and it will grimace, it will smile, it will do all these kind of things. And if you go to put your hand on it, it will react and push your hand away. It knows exactly where your hand is. It doesn't make a mistake about where your hand is. It will find your hand immediately and push it away. It can react and do all these things. What will this world be like in the future? In the book of Revelation, it talks about the image of the beast and how that life came to it. And now, as time goes by, we're beginning to see all kinds of possibilities for how things can develop. Well, let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for our exciting life that You have given us, the promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for all of the grace that's come to us, that's just free. Free to us, but bought at tremendous cost. We thank Thee, our Father, for all that Thou hast done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, so up here we've got part 8. I hope this is right. It seems like a long time since we've been here, but I think it's correct, part 8. And So we have been opening up a can of worms in this study. I know we have. There are many people out there in internet land who are a little bit worried about where I'm going to go with this study. Don't worry. I am an extreme dispensationalist in many people's eyes. That's how they would classify me. And I don't mind in some ways having that sort of statement put on me, because I am interested in the principle of right division. I believe it's a correct principle. It's taught in scriptures. And if there is a true division, we better find it. We better find those things. And we better uphold them, because with division comes clarity. A lot of clarity will come to us. And we've been looking at some various questions about the law. Now please open up your Bibles to Ezekiel 36. And you'll notice this is a tremendous prophetical book. It talks about ideas in here related to the coming temple. And if we've recently gone through the book of Hebrews, and we know that one classification of the law is the ceremonial law, where there are various sacrifices made. And those things were fulfilled in Christ. And you see, he is the great high priest. And in the book of Hebrews, it talks about how there was a change in the law needed for this classification of this priest after the order of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, of course, is primary. Goes way back. Another topic. But look at Ezekiel 36, verse 25. It says this. Well, it's too good. Let's just go up a little bit. It says this in verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Aren't these just amazing verses? These, to me, I don't know about you, I get a kind of shiver up my back when I read these things. Have you seen a dog when something happens and he gets a bit excited and he's worried that maybe there's something he needs to deal with, something out of the normal, and if you watch its hair on the back, it comes up? You've seen this happen? Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you. And look at this word. I want you to see this word here, which is a remarkable passage. And cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Wow. Now notice that this whole business of this restoration of Israel out of the land also happens when they're given this new heart and this spirit, and this enables them to walk after the statutes and the judgments. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. See, you can't spiritualize. When I say spiritualize, I mean you can't say, oh, this land is heaven. No, because this land is the same one that was promised to the fathers. You see? To me, it's clear. It's as clear as the words that are written on this page, which in my Bible is in black color. And you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Am I my people? No longer Lo Ami, but Ami, my people. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses, and I will call for the corn and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. No more diseases. Supernatural. Supernaturally done. Supernatural provision. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and increase of the field, and ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Wow. Superabundance. Super change occurring. Done by the Spirit of God. But physical, done through the Spirit of God. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities. I shall cause you. Notice this word, cause you. And the waste shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and the desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Do you believe this? See, I believe it. I'm a believer, man. I believe this is going to happen. It has not happened. It will happen. It has not happened. It will happen. That's where we're at. We're in history in the making, right? And the part that we are at is somewhere in between when this was promised and when it will be fulfilled. It has not yet been fulfilled. It's going to be fulfilled. And what is the basis of this fulfilling? It's the new covenant. Right? Okay. And notice the place of the statutes and judgments that they would be caused to walk in. Now you can read the rest of this. It's remarkable. Just totally remarkable. And beautiful. So we've been studying now this whole business of the law. Because, you see, this is where we have an advantage over those people who perhaps have denied the principles of right division. We have a big advantage over them because we've come to see what's happened here. That through this book of Acts, you have Paul as a minister of the new covenant. We know from the writings of Hebrews in chapter 13 that the old was ready to vanish away. It was ready. Ready to vanish away. And then the fullness of the new to come into being. But in order for that to occur, what we need to see is repentance of Israel and then finally, a tremendous amount of tribulation come on the earth, such that has never happened before and never will happen again. But it didn't occur. We wait for it to happen, but the account says that the eldership of Israel says, we will not have this man to rule over us. We will not have this man. They threw dust up in the air. They stomped around. And then Paul said, okay, be it known to you, the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles. They will hear that message. So the broadening of the message of the new covenant gets bigger and bigger and bigger until finally what we get is Matthew 22 showing the destruction here of Jerusalem. We have some time before then the mystery being revealed to Paul the prisoner. And he allows us to see a new vista opening up for us, not associated with the covenants of Israel, but something very different. So what you have here is this, according to Hebrews 13, the old is ready to vanish away. Ready. Not quite gone. It's ready to pass away. What's needed, according to Peter, Acts chapter 3, is the repentance of Israel. They don't do it. Because that's the promise, right, to Israel. Ezekiel 36. That's the promise. But it doesn't happen. Okay, what I want you to do is I just want you to see a few verses in here that makes you think about what's going on with the law. Okay, because the law is our study. That's what we're interested in. Now, look at this. Now, this is now, we're going to go back into the book of Acts, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You say, but that's Corinthians. That's 1 Corinthians. That's not Acts. Yeah, but 1 Corinthians is an Acts epistle. So when I say, let's go into the Acts, I'm talking about going to that time, in that time that's being covered by the book of Acts. And so 1 Corinthians is going to be in there. So let's have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Gain the more. See, the thing about this ministry that Paul has here is that he's trying to reach people as much as possible. He doesn't want to put roadblocks. There is one roadblock, an offense, which he will not at all move aside. There's one. And that's the offense of the gospel. That's offensive. You know that, right? That's one thing we are not to water down. We are just to lay it out. And if people don't want to receive it, that's on them. We are not to at all water that down. But there are many other things that Paul did in order that an unnecessary offense was not to be put in front of people. Look at this. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. Well then, if he is doing something as though under the law, it must mean in some sense he is not under the law, right? He's going to do this as under the law. Verse 21. To them that are without law, as without law. Oh, now, you better qualify this, Paul, right? You better qualify that statement. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God. Ah, you see, he's not going to do anything against the moral principles and truth of the law of God. No. Can you see that it is necessary to categorize the law? I think I've shown you this before. It's totally necessary that there are categories of the law. Why? Well, we know, for example, that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God and he fulfills that type and picture. Right? We're not going to go out and get a lamb and sacrifice it today for our sins. there are principles here which involve categorization of the law. Being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. Notice that parenthetical thought there. It's in parentheses. It is in my Bible. Right? A parenthetical thought. Because he qualifies. He needs to qualify to them that are without law as without law. He's got to qualify that. Because he's not lawless. Right? He's not lawless. Okay. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Beautiful. All right? This brings up the delicate nature of the law. Okay? And how we are to use it. Now, Paul is talking here as a minister of the new covenant here during this time of the book of Acts. Okay, we must consider this. Now, while you're there, just go across to Matthew chapter 5 with me. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, and just look at this. Matthew 5, verse 17. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, when you fulfill something, you don't make it false. It doesn't make it false, does it? You fulfill it. You bring its truth into reality through your life or whatever you're doing. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And it gives injunctions against breaking the law. Okay? The law is good. Paul says this. It's good. It's holy. It's just. Okay? Now I'm going to create a problem for you. A problem that I may not solve for you today. But it's good to see the problem. Okay? It's good to see the problem. All right. Go across the Exodus now. Go across the Exodus. Chapter 20. Exodus 20. Now, when you come to, by the way, it's my job now to read all of the law. That's my job. I've started in this whole process. I want to read every single passage in the scriptures concerning the law of God. Every single one of them. That's my job. I haven't got through it all yet. Even the stuff I've read, I have to go back again because I can see there are levels and depths here that you'll miss. Okay, now watch this. Have you ever thought about the Ten Commandments? Yeah, maybe I need to think about a better pen. Okay, so the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. We also call this the Decalogue. You might spell it a little bit differently than me. Deca, 10, and then log, 10 words. 10 words. 10 words. And then you think about the Ten Commandments and you remember that they were inscribed with the finger of God onto two tables of stone. Why two? Well, you couldn't fit the 10 on one. Do you think so? Maybe there's something going on here with the fact that there are two. A division within the Ten Commandments. So there are two tables of stone. Okay, there's two of them. Okay. Now look at Exodus 20, verse 1. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Very specific. That thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And now comes, these are the part of the Ten Commandments. And then down here, in verse 13, it says, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not, verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not be a false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So that ends the Ten Commandments. Now, if you look at what the Lord said concerning the law, I'm going to show you a couple of passages. What I'll do is I'll show you something Paul said. Have a look at this. This is in Leviticus 19. So we're going to go to Leviticus because we're in that area, and then I'll take you to the New Testament. Leviticus 19. And verse 18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. You shall keep my statute. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed, neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon thee. That's weird, isn't it? It's strange. Do you do that? I don't think so. I think you don't give two hoots about that, right? You don't care about your linen. It looks good. It's made of the right sort of stuff. Yeah, man, I'm in. Right? But this was a part of the law. Now, remember, the law is good, it's holy, and it's just. Okay. Let's look at something else. I'm going to take you across to Matthew 5, and then maybe I'll get to Paul. Matthew 5. We're going to work our Bibles in this study. We have to, because we have to get a sense of what's going on here. We have to ask questions. Matthew 5, and let's see, around about verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say, that's the Lord, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. But I say, wait a minute, here you've got the strictest idea of the law, and then what you get is some of the more weightier matters of the law and a spiritual depth that is not on the surface of the law but goes down. And for someone who is interested in what God's really trying to do through the law, he or she can see these things, depending on God and praying for light, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Boy, this is a different view of things. So under Moses, at least on the surface level, you might say, there's my enemy, let's waste on that character. Right? They're trying to do us harm. Then Jesus comes on and he says, yeah, love your enemies. Whoa. Now, whatever you may think about this, that is a remarkable statement. To view another individual who is perhaps going to do you harm, but you are actually going to express some sort of love towards them. This has been done. I don't know whether I'm going to be very good at doing it, but it has been done with all sorts of effect. Have a look at this passage. This is in Matthew chapter 22. Now, because of lack of time, I'm just going to take out a few of these. Matthew 22 and verse 36. Look what it says. And, yeah, that's the right one. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, this is verse 37 of Matthew 22. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Oh, you know, that's just like the commandments you see in the first table. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Second table. Second table. There. Interesting. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All the law and the prophets. Okay? This is cool. Now, so, we know this. We know that the law is good, holy, just. But when we go back over to the Old Testament and we look at the expanded law, where the principles of the Ten Commandments are now having to do service to criminal things, right? Criminal things, where human beings in the camp of Israel do all sorts of mischief. What are you going to do about that? Well, you might say, well, you know, all sin deserves death. You could say that, right? And then it's pretty easy. Yeah, you sin, you die. Well, then everybody dies, right? That's one road. The other road is what you find in here, is that the moral law is made to do service to criminal investigation on people that do criminal things. Crimes and sins are not the same thing. Sin is before God. The Lord said about adultery, right? Yeah, thank you. That you can look at a woman to lust after her and you've committed adultery in your heart already, right? Adultery is done that far. Okay. But then there is this really amazing thing that adultery itself has a criminal side to it where it is judged. You can't see what's going on in the heart, that's a sin. But what goes on in the flesh can be seen and can be qualified and put into a criminal setting. And it's done here. It's done. And it's holy, just, and good. Okay, but you can have judgment made based upon the morals and moral certainties of the Ten Commandments. And that judgment can be put in place, which will also be holy, just, and good. Okay, so when you go back here, let's just do this, all right? Let's go back to Exodus 20 again. I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. If you go back to Exodus 20, and where the Ten Commandments are given, now you know that the Ten Commandments were written by the finger of God, and they were actually broken up and smashed, and then they had to be rewritten and put into the Ark of the Covenant. Now, placed into the Ark, and there they remained. So here in Exodus 20, you'll find down here after this Decalogue is given in verse 18, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off, and they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Well, they're showing some really repentance and knowing the fact that this is God speaking, and we know that we are sinners and we don't want to hear this voice. We don't want to hear this because this is too much for us, man. We'll hear your voice, but we don't want to hear the voice of God because we're not going to handle it. Now it goes on here, look down chapter 21. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant 6 years, he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. Right? Here's these servants. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. Well, we don't have slaves today. You don't have. They did there. They had slaves. And many of these were indentured servants. That is, they would just say, Master, please take me as a servant for these years because I've got no work, I've got nowhere to go. Please take me in. And then that would happen. Right? They would become servants and they'll, by their own free will. They choose to be servants. And they could actually become servants for the complete time of their life if they so chose to do it and the master agreed to it. What they'd do is they'd come to the gate where all the judges were, and then there would be this declaration made, and there would be a stone, and there would be a boring through of the air. Do we do these things today, friends? No, we do not do these things today. If you try to say, well, the law is holy, just, and good, then we should be able to just do this today, right? Let's get out the stones and... What about adultery? Yeah, man. Looks like Sharia is in. Right? Taliban. Are in, man. We can do all these kind of things. Calvin actually did some of these things. And if you disagreed with Calvin doctrinally, he would write up a writ. Now, he wouldn't himself have the execution done, but he would inform the magistrates of the town and say, this person's blaspheming God against this doctrine. Have them burnt. They did it. They did it to Servetus. Servetus was burnt at the stake because he had a false doctrine about Jesus Christ. Now, we would disagree with his doctrine. But do you really think that we can take the law of God and then impose it onto people today to get the law of God throughout the communities, and then we're going to see some sort of righteous community come about? No, all you're going to get is the Dark Ages. One way or another. It's not going to happen. Is there a better way? Is there something that a lot of people are missing? By the way, this study that we're talking about is this one. So if you want to look more into what I'm talking about, this study is known as theonomy. And it comes from the word theos, and you can see nomi comes from nomos, law, God's law. God's law. Theonomy, the study of God's law. Now, there are people who say because the law is, you know, just, it's good, it's holy, we should be able to implement this today in some way. I would say to you that you're missing something. You're missing it on a number of levels. And these levels we need to go through. Now, I've just blown the time out setting up the whole problem, right? You can see the problem, right? Okay. So what we've got to do is we have got to be able to clearly teach what is the biblical solution to it. And there is one, right? A very clear biblical solution, which I hope to give to you next time. Because we're out of time, man. So there are a lot more slides I was going to show you, which I made up near the end. But anyway, we'll do that next time. I didn't even get through, you know, what's wrong with me? I don't even get through this stuff. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for all that Thou hast shown us in the Scriptures. And Lord, we see that the code, the moral code is in there. We, Lord, want to know and understand how to implement the righteous moral code that transcends the law and comes to us today. We thank Thee for the Scriptures rightly divided. And we ask that as we go through our lives that we would put the Scriptures first and seek Thy will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.